The Carolina Outdoors is now in session. Come on in. The listening is fine. Bill Bartee on this side of the dial. Producer TJ over there.
Hello. Happy Saturday.
And our friends from Facebook Live are joining in during this segment of the taping of the Carolina Outdoors. We're going to ask for a little bit of, people to participate. And we're going to start off by talking about some of the dangers of being outdoors and maybe what's one of the most dangerous things that you ever did outdoors that didn't kill anybody. We don't want to get that heavy on this topic. And it started with something that I found from the Charlotte Observer. Julia Coyne reported on this down in Waxhaw. Graffiti strewn across the water tower earlier this week revealed the vandal's alias, Tyler Was Here, WUZ, and he sprayed that on the water tower down there in Waxhaw. So the graffiti was up there, and of course, Waxhaw Police Department took it upon themselves to post on Facebook a young Mr. Tyler, an 18-year-old high school student, turned himself in to the WPD, and this was after Waxhaw Police shared photos of the vandalism along with a little bit of information, tongue-in-cheek, that they knew about the suspect. His name, Tyler, because he spray-painted it there, up there on the water tower, and he loved somebody who started with the name of A. Anyway, they also said that Tyler, Chief Greg Collins wrote this, if we get your admittance from you, there won't be much punishment. But if we get it from someone else, not so much. Come on down to the police department and explain your artistic influences. So, in the days following the weekend incident, the post, originating from a small town there in Union County, our friends in Utah, in Union County down in Waxhaw, it had been shared more than 2,000 times with more than 3,000 reactions and 1,000 comments. I know who it was. Eric, Donna, Fez, Hyde, and Jackie and Kelso, one user commented, referencing the hit TV series That 70s Shows. Those dumb A's. Collins chose humor instead of sternness to give people a reason to share the post. Anyway, Tyler went down to the police department, got a citation for doing that, and went on home. It reminded me of a time, and Waxhaw was worried not just about the trespassing, but also the dangers involved in getting up on the water tower for that graffiti. I grew up in Clover, South Carolina, and as a young bus rider in middle school, we went over, the bus would do the transfer over at the high school. The high school was a new building at that time, not to say my age, but it was a newer building, and on top of the high school building was a port-a-john that had sprayed across the door, principal's office.
Oh, man.
And I thought, of course, I'm middle school. I was probably sixth grade, maybe seventh, if that's hedging into junior high back then. But I thought, oh, what kind of prank was that? That was one of the things I admired. Maybe it's dangerous. It didn't kill anybody.
Right.
But it registered with me. TJ, you've done some dangerous things outdoors.
Well, I mean, first of all, I think we need to art shame Tyler. If you're going to go to the danger of doing something like that, have a better plan. Maybe we need to invest more into the arts in Waxhaw, and, you know, at least it won't be that. Come on. Do better, Tyler.
He's got something to strive for.
Recently, the dumbest – I've probably done tons of really dumb things outside, but the most recent dumb thing I did was Sunday, where I didn't stretch before I was playing disc golf and trying to make a long distance, and I threw my back out. I've been walking around hunched over all week.
So what would your improvement have been? To stretch?
Yes, to prepare for activities, because I'm not 18 anymore. I'm not 18 spray painting water tanks anymore.
Oh, alias Tyler. TJ? What? Tyler?
No.
Could it be Facebook Live community? We invite you to note in one of your dangerous aspects. Another question I could ask, well, you know what? I'll do one more. I tell it oftentimes, especially as we get closer to Mother's Day. One of the dumb things I did outdoors, one of the rules of a hiking trip is not to go off the trail. Not to, unless you really know what you're doing, there's no reason to get off the trail as you are on a hike. And as a small child, that's my excuse. I was a small child. Here we go. My mother hates this story. But Kings Mountain. In fact, we just talked about it recently. You can listen to highlights of the Carolina Outdoors. But a Kings Mountain hike that I did in the National Military Park. It's a federal park, part of the National Park Service down there. I was upset about something that my mom did or said was going to make me do like moms do.
Right.
And off the trail I went.
Oh, no.
And immediately was lost.
Yeah, of course.
And got more and more and more lost.
Oh.
Nobody died, but that's one of the memories I have of an outdoor dumb thing that I did.
That's a lesson learned.
A lesson you know? Learned. Welcome, everyone, to the Carolina Outdoors. We're welcoming our friends from the Jesse Browns Facebook page, Jesse Browns CLT via Facebook Live. They're joining in. We invite you to go over there and like that page. It lets you see what's going on here in the Carolina outdoor world. It shows you the personalities of Jesse Browns, the products over at Jesse Browns and jessebrowns.com. Of course, the original Charlotte outfitter located in the South Park shopping district of South Park is Jesse Browns Outdoors. TJ, I've got a question for you here and for our Facebook Live people as we're going to shut down this segment and continue on. Of course, here on the outdoor program, it's springtime. We're talking turkey season, so hunting's going on, hiking's going on, fishing's going on. All of those things here in spring, those are outdoor sports. Is golf considered an outdoor sport?
Absolutely it is.
Yeah, this is a big tent program, right?
You're going to have a big building if you're playing that inside.
We're going to include golf in the list of outdoor sports. Many would argue it is a little bit of a hiking sport anyway if you're walking.
Absolutely.
I resemble that. It's kind of like hiking meets lacrosse meets golf, because you just whack-a-mole for me.
I'm just hiking to the golf cart.
So it's official, vote of 2-0. I don't know what our Facebook Live friends think. Is golf an outdoor sport? We don't really sell those goods at Jesse Browns Outdoors, but we do have a friend across the way in the South Park area, Rob Gallagher from Club Champion. He's going to talk to us a little bit about that. If you missed his segment, you can go to highlights of the Carolina Outdoors. If you didn't miss it, listen up, because Rob Gallagher is going to join us to talk about the sport of golf. And we talk about the New World Order meets WCW meets WWE in wrestling. What about LIV Golf meeting PGA at Augusta National?
Tackling everything.
In the squared circle. Thanks for joining us. This is Bill Barty. We're going to come back for segment two of the Carolina Outdoors right after this.
Schneider Tree Care, expert tree care specialist for WPT and for you.
We're kicking this thing off. We're going to bring on a guest to talk about something that's been in the news, whether it be Mecklenburg County evaluations on property and its effect on golf courses. Yes, that did pop up. But also here in the Southeast, the Carolina Outdoors is in session, and we are a border state to something that's going on down on the South Carolina-Georgia border in a place called Augusta. The Augusta National is hosting. You've heard about it on the news. The Masters is going on this weekend, and the Carolina Outdoors is going to talk a little bit about it as well. To do so, We'd like to welcome all of you while we welcome a man about town, a man about the course, and the man in charge of club champion golf in the South Park area of Charlotte, Rob Gallagher. Welcome to the Carolina Outdoors.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Rob, it's fantastic to have you on here, and of course, it's beautiful outside. It's the Carolina Outdoors is alive with spring. We do have our bumps with precipitation, with rain, with cooling temperatures, but it's followed immediately in the springtime by warming temperatures, and golf has been in the news, and the Masters is helping us kick off spring as the first major of the year. But, Rob, something else is happening in golf. It's kind of like the AFL meets the NFL in football. The ABA meets the NBA in basketball. The New World Order meets WCW meets WWE in professional wrestling. And the LIV Tour meets the PGA at Augusta National. Rob, what does that mean to us hackers here locally in the golf world?
You know, I think the LIV started up last year or maybe early on in 21, but, you know, the idea behind it was to create some competition and you know, backed by some different kind of sources from that side as far as the money's concerned. But one of the interesting things that it has done is it has provided that competition, and it's spurred on a lot more money that's going into even PGA Tour events, and allowing for some people to really be able to play some different things. So, some really cool things that we're seeing here, from that standpoint, as far as the LIV Tour and things like that. Definitely a different kind of, environment and can't really, it's not easy to find and watch them, but, you know, interesting to see some of those guys here back at Augusta.
Yeah, and we do have some who are showing up. They were invited, minus Greg Norman, a two-time major winner, but oftentimes a participant, almost won the Masters. He was not invited, but players like Dustin Johnson or Brooks Koepka, Patrick Reed, those guys are at the Masters playing by invitation as they were previous winners. And I know you have a lot of clients, a lot of customers coming into Club Champion Charlotte who go to the Masters, who keep up with the sport religiously, not their just their own game, but also what's going on professionally. What are people saying about it? Is it going to be awkward down there in at Augusta this week with these two opposing, tours in the same place?
Yeah, you know, I'm going to be interested to see that myself. I know that, you know, there's a couple of the guys that were playing practice rounds, you know, PGA Tour and LIV players. And I think Rory even mentioned, like, hey, there's some of the guys that have been honest about why they went, and I'm cool with them and other people that I don't want to associate with anymore. So, you know, could it be awkward? Sure. The interesting part about LIV is they don't play as busy of a schedule as the PGA Tour. So what I'm going to be more interested in is to see how they're actually playing, right?
Exactly.
You know,
yes.
You get those guys that are playing a ton of events and keeping their game sharp, and then some of these other guys that are playing once a month, maybe in a tournament setting, now coming into, you know, arguably my favorite week of the year. You know, trying to compete against those best in the world. It'll be interesting to see what kind of scores we see.
Yeah, it'll be exciting to see if those LIV players have rust going on that the PGA guys may not, because of they're not playing as much. Who knows? But let's bring it a little bit closer to home anyway. It is springtime, and we've seen the green wake up a little bit out there. What is the status of golf in the Charlotte area anyway? Again, you have a lot of people coming in, whether they be members of private clubs, maybe they're public course players, maybe they're just getting started, maybe they're hanging out at Top Golf or any of the other places in Charlotte. How does the game feel and look? We're a little bit removed from the pandemic where a lot of people
yep.
got out there and we're doing things. But my question is, really about is it crowded? Is it affordable for going to certain places, the access to golf? What's your look at it, Rob Gallagher, of how golf is in Charlotte?
Well, I think those are two different questions. Is it crowded? Yes. Is it affordable? No. You know, I think the interesting part about COVID was it got a ton of people interested in golf, and, you know, people were outside, right? So I know you saw it in your business as well, people getting out and doing some different things outdoors, and golf was no exception. You know, we're still at that point where the grass isn't perfectly green yet, but the weather's turning around, and we're starting to see a big jump in that stuff. So, you know, I like what I'm seeing. I know I live kind of down in South Charlotte, and the Divide was a course that has put a ton of money into their facility. They've built a top tracer range at their driving range, did some green renovation, and have done some really great stuff as of late. So it's been really, really good to see. You know, the investment and things that's going on around the city, and I know people are gearing up and ready for the Wells Fargo to come back into town too. So, going to be very interesting to see some of this stuff here in the near future.
Oh, well, I'm glad you mentioned the Wells Fargo, because it is back, and that's another thing that helps wake us up locally to golf, but also it brings people into our area. And for those of us like Jesse Brown's Outdoors and Club Champion, which are really within a block or block and a half of each other, and then just a few more blocks down to the golf course, it really is fun and impactful to the way, I guess, the festivities that come to South Charlotte. With that, Rob, I need to come see you, because I have a driver and a 3-wood that, ooh, it's a great hiking stick, but if I try to hit that ball, it just does not go where it's supposed to go, especially with a driver. I mean, that's your big club. Talk to us a little bit about Club Champion, because what you're doing over there are really better fits, customized fitting processes so that we can hit these clubs a little bit better. What's going on over there at Club Champion that way?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think everybody has historically kind of looked at golf clubs a little bit as a commodity, right? A driver's a driver's a driver, or, you know, the only differences are a stiff shaft or a regular shaft and maybe the loft on the head, right? And what we really do is we're going to break down every piece of that puzzle, figure out what is the best shaft for you, figure out what is the best head for you, link, lie, loft, all those little pieces that go into really custom building a product for you and a tool for you so that you can play the best golf possible. That's what we do. We want to really kind of delve deep and from a retail standpoint, yeah, we sell golf clubs, but really for us, we want to be able to create great relationships with our clients, help our clients play better golf. That's why we got into this business. We enjoy the game, and we want to make sure that we can help other people enjoy the game just as much as we do.
All right, so you pioneered the Charlotte location of Club Champion. There are dozens of Club Champions across the country, and they keep up with the data involved with these golfers and the improvements on their game. Am I putting you in a corner if I ask you what kind of improvement that we – I call myself a hacker. I'm a D player. But what kind of improvement can we see if we get matched up with our current clubs and they get fitted to us, or maybe we get a different set of clubs that we can hit and score a little bit better?
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, I think it really depends on what you have and how good it is. But typically what we see is people are dropping about 6 strokes after they get set up into the right set of golf clubs. I actually had one of my buddies come in this morning. We picked up about 40 yards on his driver and way more accuracy. So he was a little better player, and we still picked up a huge amount of distance. So, you know, it really depends on what you got and how open-minded you are to really taking a look and going down the rabbit hole. But it's always fun. It's always nice to be able to take a look at it and just see what we can do.
6 strokes, and that means you probably don't have to change your handicap right away, so you can get in your buddy's pockets there on the greens, maybe take some of that money back that this D player's
100%.
Been losing.
you pay for your own investment. That's the case, right?
That is exactly right. Rob Gallagher is our guest here on the Carolina Outdoor. He's from Club Champion, fitting people up with clubs, making their scores better, and making my scores better. Rob, I'm going to put you again. I'm going to ask you this hard question, because where does Rob Gallagher, your favorite golfer, I'm going to ask you that, and then your favorite local place to play?
Oh, favorite local place to play. I have had the privilege of playing Quail a few times. It is fantastic. I mean, always in fantastic condition. As far as golfers go, you know, Tiger brought a ton of people to the game. It's really fun to watch him, and you know, don't tell my boss, but I've got a third monitor set up with the Masters playing right now. So, you know, trying to get a lot of work done today. But you know, my buddy is Kevin Kisner's caddy. It's always fun to watch Kevin play and to see how he's out there grinding it out as well. So, you know, this week for me, I pull for the course. I don't care who wins. I just want it to be a fun event, and that golf course is phenomenal down there in Augusta. So I'm going to be happy no matter what.
Hey, those are fair answers. Thank you for answering them, especially as I put you on the spot. I need to give out the hours, because you're down there working Monday through Saturday, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. You'll take fittings. You can do it on the website. You can just go to clubchampion.com, find the Charlotte location, and book a fitting so that you can be a great golfer like me and not use your driver as a hiking stick.
And you know, I don't know how far out the show's going, but at the end of the day, we got Winston-Salem, Columbia, Greenville, South Carolina, all within, you know, a couple-hour drive of Charlotte as well, too. So feel free to take a look at a location near you.
Oh, that's fair, Rob Gallagher, because the Carolina Outdoor blast up and down the eastern seaboard early on a Saturday morning via the airwaves of WBT, as well as the podcast, which is Around the World and Then Some, at highlights of the Carolina Outdoors. And again, that website, clubchampion.com. Rob Gallagher, thank you. Every time you jump on here, I learn a little bit more about golf and what to expect from a springtime in the Carolinas.
Well, I appreciate it, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Fantastic. Off he goes. That's Rob Gallagher. And off I go. But just for a moment, we're going to come back on the other side and continue the conversation. You're listening to the Carolina Outdoors. All aboard, ringing the bell. The choo-choo train called the Carolina Outdoors is chugging down the tracks. The people listening are early risers, maybe, early on a Saturday morning. But then there's a whole other group that are coming in late. All welcome as we blast up and down the eastern seaboard via the airwaves of WBT Radio early on a Saturday morning. Also, 24/7 via podcast, highlights of the Carolina Outdoors. Go check us out. Any segments that you may have missed each week, this week or previous weeks, you can find there. We're celebrating spring here on the Carolina Outdoors and over at Jesse Brown's. In fact, Wednesday at Jesse Brown's, there were a lot of boxes that showed up, but they weren't necessarily Patagonia or Free Fly or On shoes. It was boxes of produce that had on the outside of them Bush and Vine Farm. So as we celebrate spring, we're going to talk a little bit of produce, because we're going down to the Filbert Highway to Bush and Vine Farm. Sam Hall is going to join us right now. Sam, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate you having me.
Sam, what are all those boxes doing out there? They had CSA written across the side, as well as Bush and Vine Farm. What is that about?
Well, CSA stands for Community Supported Agriculture. And what it is in a nutshell is, people sign up in advance. We have deadlines for each season, four seasons. And you sign up before the deadline, and you get fresh boxes of fresh fruits and vegetables in those boxes each week for 8 weeks.
Well, that's what, so it's packed full. In fact, you had a little prize in there, and Sam, I want to talk to you about the produce that was in that box, but in particularly one bit of produce. And Sam Hall, I don't know what you do down there at the Bush and Vine to make this happen, but those strawberries that come off of that farm are world class. Dare you share your secret here on the Carolina Outdoors with what goes in to growing a fantastic, a wonderful red strawberry.
That's the Bush and Vine special, and they are a lot of work and a lot of hard work and energy goes into growing those strawberries. They are really good. We take a lot of pride in growing strawberries. It's something we've been doing for almost 44 years now here at Bush and Vine, and so a lot of trial and error and figuring out what varieties work and which one's the sweetest and which one works best on our farm for what the way we we want them to be fresh and we want them to be sweet, and that's really important to us here at Bush and Vine. So
well, we need to talk a little bit about that too, Sam, because I do need to ask, when you're talking to a farmer, or an outdoors person in general, inevitably the conversation comes around to weather. We've had, I would say, a pretty easy spring from my view. Not too hot, not too cold, not too wet, not too dry, but that's from my view. Sam, what about from the Bush and Vine view? How has the weather been regarding precipitation? We can start with that. How has that been this spring?
Well, I kind of see it as been a wet spring.
Yep.
We have been getting quite a bit of rain. We'll go 5 or 6 days without any rain. We run around like crazy getting stuff planted, and then it rains again. And so a lot of us are getting stuff planted before the next rain. But we're doing okay in that regard. It has been a cold March, at least. February was mild, and March was cold.
So
we had some cold spells that affected some of our crops.
So. Yeah, will you talk to us a little bit about that? What was affected, or what is affected the most when it gets cold like that? I don't know if you had some light freezes down on the farm, but what is the stress, and what is the produce that's stressed the most when it gets like that?
Yeah, probably the most vulnerable. Our peaches bloomed about 2 to 3 weeks ahead of schedule this year, which makes them even more vulnerable when you got the little fruit. We had fruit the size of peas, I would say, on our trees, and so that makes them more vulnerable to a frost. And it certainly, I think we'll still have peaches this year in July and August at least. Won't have as many in June this year. Thankfully, the blackberries hadn't bloomed yet, and so they should be fine. We should have plenty of blackberries this summer and blueberries. And then with the strawberries, we're able to cover them up when it's cold, and we're real thankful for being able to do that and protect them. But there's not much you can do for the peaches.
Sam Hawes on the Carolina Outdoors from the Bush and Vine Farm. You can find that at Bush. The letter N, vinefarm.com is the website. That'll take you to the York stand, which is the main farm. They've got several other satellite stands here, there, and everywhere. But, Sam, not just produce is going on at the Bush and Vine Farm. You've kind of branched into other ag tourism-type things, hiking trails and mazes and all of that. But one of the things that you have going on down there is an observation beehive. What is that for? Are you getting honey from that? And can school groups or families and others come down there and see the beehive? And when is that most active?
The observation beehive is there just to teach people about the importance of the honeybee to the farmer. And it's here at our York stand for people to take a look at and see, to just see the bees working behind that, they're behind glass, and so you can see inside and see them all busy working and find the queen and that sort of thing. So it's more so of education to whoever comes to the store. We're farmers first, but we want everybody to realize it's also our job to educate people about the importance of agriculture and having having food grown locally here. I think we especially saw in the pandemic about the importance of that, and then the bees, the important role that they play as far as pollinating the different crops here on the farm. So,
well, you've got quite an enterprise there, and in fact, you expanded a few years back with some new buildings. You know, air conditioned and heated buildings is a big improvement over the original shed that there was there for produce, which is still there with bush and vine painted on the roof for all to see from the roadways or from the airways. So you have expanded a little bit, but there's a little bit of throwback too, though, Sam. Of course, for those who do not want to get out in the field and pick, you have people that will pick the produce to go into those buildings for us to come in and buy. But you also offer us the ability to be our own harvester with the pick-your-own choices that we can come down there and do. What are the pick-your-own produce that we can do? That's kind of a hard word to say. Pick-your-own produce that you can do, and what's in season right now for us to pick our own.
Sure, yeah. It is strawberry season right now, and we have plenty of strawberries. We have pick your own strawberries on Saturdays from 8 to 3. This Saturday it's going to be closed due to the rain. Hopefully we're going to get some sunny Saturdays here pretty soon. But it is open on Saturdays only for strawberry picking, 8 to 3. But we also offer pick your own blueberries later on in the summer, probably around early to mid-June. We'll have pick your own blackberries, and doesn't look like we'll have pick your own peaches this year, but then we'll finish out the season with pick your own pumpkins in the fall.
I always think of my good friend Don Yeager here on the Carolina Outdoors. Whenever he would talk to the bush and vine, he would try to eat his weight in the pick your own category down there. Sam, how does that work? Do you do it by weight of gallon, or do you have people trying to sneak some strawberries in their mouth?
We do it by the weight of the gallon. So it's $3.75 a pound, and you can pick the gallon half full or pick it all the way heaping full, and you pay based on what you pick. But we want everybody to come down and have a good time with family. Bring your kids, bring your grandkids, whatever the case may be, and we'd love to have you at the farm and make those family memories.
It's springtime in the Carolinas, and here on the Carolina Outdoors and over at Jesse Brown's, we are celebrating that, as well as at the Bush and Vine Farm. Sam Hall is jumping on the program to share what's going on in season and other seasons at the Bush and Vine, and eating fresh, good food and knowing where this food comes from. But here on the Carolina Outdoors, of course, we're an outdoors program, and here in April there's a lot of hiking, hunting, fishing, and more going on in the outdoors. But Sam, that's one thing we have not talked about that you have down there, is a hiking trail. And along that hiking trail, we can have a bit of a tour of the entire Bush and Vine Farm. Will you tell us the lay of the land of that 1 mile hike that we can come down and do after we've picked our own strawberries?
Sure. You know, it's a fun little hike around the farm. It is not a paved path, but it's not a strenuous walk. But it takes you across some of our creeks and ponds, and takes you through some of our woods and past some of our fields and our greenhouses and tunnels, to where you can kind of get a bit taste of what we do here at the Bush and Vine, and enjoy the outdoors and realize that we're growing things, but we also have lots of you know, we've got wetlands, and that's all it's good for is wetlands, and so we're here to protect our fields and our crops, but we're here to protect our environment too, and we need everything to be, we want to be sustainable here at the Bush and Vine, and we're our goal is to be here for as long as long as we possibly can to keep growing fresh fruits and vegetables for people in the community, people in the Carolinas, because that's what we need to live is food. And so we want people to enjoy, to kind of see where their stuff is grown, how their produce is grown. Certainly no secrets here at the Bush and Vine. So.
You can check them all out there. 1615 Filbert Highway, York, South Carolina. That's also known as Highway 321. We'll put it up in the liner notes on the podcast as well. The phone number down there, the email info at bushinvinefarm.com, and that N, Bush, letter N, vinefarm.com. Sam Hall, proprietor, thank you for jumping on the Carolina Outdoors and sharing the wealth of knowledge and all that you have going on down on the farm.
Thank you for having me, Bill. I appreciate y'all having me on today.
Love having you. Off you go, Sam Hall, and off we go. But just for a moment, we're going to come back and continue the conversation. You're listening to the Carolina Outdoors. All right, here we are on the Carolina Outdoors. We're glad you're sticking with us. I know a lot of you are going to work on a Saturday.
We're already here. We're putting in the work.
A lot of people are still in bed. That's okay. The Carolina Outdoors is in session. TJ's over there. Bill Bartee on this side. We have an upcoming opportunity for our listeners and friends over at Jesse Brown's. We hope that you'll join us for the Urban Hike. It is Sunday, April 23rd at 1 p.m. We're going to meet at the Fair Meadows Swim Club in the South Park area. And then we're going to take a 7.7-mile guided journey and see parts of Charlotte that maybe you've never seen before. It's sponsored by our friends over at Jesse Brown's and jessebrowns.com. All you need is a water bottle and some comfortable shoes. And you can get both of those with discount code HIKE25 to save $25 on your $100 Jesse Brown's purchase. Now, you may ask, where is this hike going to go, TJ?
Where's this hike going to go, Bill?
Well, this year's route starts there at Fair Meadows in the heart of the South Park area, right behind the Jesse Brown store, practically. We're going to head west towards Park Road from there and then turn north. From there, the route's going to take us, it's going to make a loop, essentially, around the Park Road Shopping Center, before heading back south, ultimately returning to the South Park area. The hike's going to highlight the newly completed Backlot Trail, which connects South Park to the Cross Charlotte Trail. Also featured are going to be some of the brand new segments of the Little Sugar Creek Greenway that are currently being constructed by the City of Charlotte. And speaking of greenways, the route's also going to be able to introduce hikers to the future routing of the new Little Hope Creek Greenway and the Briar Creek Greenway extensions, where the county is planning to begin construction now in 2023.
Now, how much traffic am I going to have to be dodging here? Is this going to be like Frogger? I'm going to be hopping back and forth?
That's a great question. There are a few crossings, but this is not just a sidewalk hike like it may read because of what the places I'm using as references. We know, like Park Road Shopping Center, we know that, but we're going to be using the greenways whenever possible.
So excellent.
It's going to be off the road. You're going to not know in most aspects that you're in the city of Charlotte. Now, the best part is for many, the Urban Hike 2023 is going to end up at Legion Brewery in South Park, which is sitting directly on the path of the new South Park Loop Trail.
Okay, I'll meet you for the beers. How about that?
Well, if you need to, and all of our listeners to the Carolina Outdoors, if need be, that is quite okay. You can pick us up any part of the trail. This hike was originally planned for March the 12th, but was rained out. And it was rained out because and postponed because the goal is to help people who may not hike a lot get out for a hike. That's why you do need some comfortable shoes, but you don't have to go crazy with that, and a water bottle, and everything else will fall into place. We have guides along the way who are going to show us points of interest, such as the Tom Franklin Black home site. Tom, along with his wife, Ida Graham Black, was the owner of the Springside Dairy. It was the largest local dairy and the only one to introduce pasteurization and homogenization process locally. His cousin, Arthur Black, operated the adjacent White Oak Dairy. So that's going to be pointed out. Also, Park Road Park is going to provide the connection to the Little Sugar Creek Greenway and the Cross Charlotte Trail. Park Road Park opened in 1973 and is celebrating its 50th anniversary this summer.
Wow. I had no idea.
See, you're going to know and see this all on the hike. What else are you going to see? The Confluence. That's a soon-to-be hub and gathering spot for future urban hikers. It's the spot where both Briar Creek and Little Hope Creek flow into Little Sugar Creek. And lastly, and many of our old-timers here on the Carolina Outdoors, TJ, you're not one of them,
no,
will recognize this that we're going to see as a point of interest along the way for the urban hike, April 23rd, starting at 1 o'clock at the Fair Meadows Swim Club, is the Drew Hearn Derby Downs. Do you know it?
I don't.
This soapbox derby track was built in 1966 with private money on city-owned property and was used for an annual race where youngsters coasted their unpowered homemade cars down the steep hill.
Oh, that's so cool. I've only seen that in, like, TV and movies. I've never been a part of one.
The track was named for Hearn, a Charlottean who won the national championship in 1947. But the track was removed in 1993 to make way for the brand new senior center that is there now.
Now, I want to see the senior center citizens getting that soapbox derby.
Says TJ the DJ, producer, hey, Boggs over there.
You're only as old as you feel.
All right, so we got that down. That's one of the things going on at Jesse Brown's, and is the urban hike. Another thing going on has been super popular, and it's become a wonderful tradition at Jesse Brown's, is Storyteller Night at Jesse Brown's. We have three brand new friends, clients, neighbors that have agreed to stand up and tell their adventure, life experience, or life change story to us. Each has 20 minutes, and the results are going to be amazing. They always are. This April 27th is no different. Starting at 6 p.m., we have Roman Phillips, who's going to tell his story, Beyond Eagle, followed by Helen S. Hosley with her story, That Neat Hat, and bringing up the rear, Russ Van Buren with his story, Rise from Collapse. The price to attend is free. You're all invited to Jesse Brown's, and you can find more information on Storytellers Night at Jesse Brown's at, guess where, jessebrowns.com. Special thanks to Rob Gallagher from Club Champion for jumping on here and giving us a state of the union in regards to golf in the area and LIV versus the PGA, like the NWO versus the WCW.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Or also, thanks to Sam Hall from Bush & Vine Farm, bushandvinefarm.com, for coming on and telling us about how we can pick our own produce. And, oh, those strawberries.
Oh, man.
They're so good. For TJ the DJ Boggs, this is Bill Barty saying make the Carolina outdoors look a little bit better than you found it. And pick up your trash.
Trash, 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 trash.